Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat show, when we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K, and today we're joined by 14-0, 11th-ranked UFC featherweight out of Manchester, UK. Shout out Ruby Sports and Entertainment for setting this appointment up. He's taking on Dan Ige, October 26th. UFC 308. Please welcome to the show, Lerone Murphy. How are you, Lerone?
Well, good, man. Enjoying my Sunday, rest day.
What do you do on your rest days, brother?
Just chill, eat food, watch movies. I'm gonna watch back the fights from yesterday as well. Perth card. Just relax, man. Chill.
What was the time zone like for you guys, seeing that I'm in Australia, so I just watched it when it was on. For UK, is it on at like 3 a.m.?
Yeah, I think it was like 3 a.m. or something, and I was staying up until that time. So I watched them today, just chill, pass some time that way. I heard it was a good card, though.
Yeah, it was a good card. You got to see it. So let me ask you about Dan Ige. So he took on Diego, bro, in like a couple hours' notice. What a dangerous guy. Really good boxer. He looked great in the third round against Diego. Diego, his finish rate off the charts right now. So I'm saying that I think that Dan's improved a shit ton, actually. Diego won that first and second round, and then Dan started coming into the fight and started putting a lot of pressure on him. He hurt him. He was doing well in the third round. So I just find that really telling. He's a really good opponent. You know what I mean? You proved yourself against Edson Barboza. What do you think about him right now?
Yeah, he's a tough guy. Everybody knows he's a tough fighter. He's been in the top 15 for how long now? Been fighting the best of the best. So for me, it's not really about records or whatever, because he's got the experience in it. He's only lost to the best guys, right? Anybody that's coming to the top 15 is beat, finished or whatever. He's got good power, good everywhere. I feel like it's a solid matchup for me and a good test.
Yeah, bro, totally. He was replaced. He had to do the replacement, Dan Ige, for Diego's fight because Brian kind of left. So with Ortega, I feel like he's kind of gone into a second wave of his career. You know what I mean? Mm. Brian Ortega's gone to a second wave. He's doing well now. But I just think that's really interesting that he kind of pulled out with a couple hours notice. So what do you think about that fight with Diego and Brian? How do you think that's going to go now that they've set it back up again?
Yeah, it's a good fight, but I feel like we've seen, obviously there was a lot that happened that last card, but I feel like we've seen, like, if Diego doesn't get the finish, I don't think the gas tank's there, and I feel like Ortega's experienced enough to drag him into them deep waters there. So I feel like the experience might win that fight, and I would personally back Ortega, even though Diego Lopez is a solid fighter. I will back Ortega in that fight.
Dude, a lot of the contenders, they're taking off in featherweight. Like, I like to mention Joe Anderson Burrito. He's one that you really need to look out for. I always mention on the show, you know, Ilya when he was coming up before he got the belt. Movzar, he's undefeated. And now also yourself now. So just tell me how that is for you, seeing that you've somehow been able to fight all these different styles of competitors and you've remained undefeated. What does that say about you?
I just know, like, it's the cream always rises to the top, innit? And that's it. I put in the work. I've got the ability. I've got the heart. I've got the work rate. And like I said, we're going to rise to the top. But I believe that I'm top five in this division. And I'm going to go and show it in October with a win over Danny Gay. A big win. I need a big win. I think I'm looking at a title shot in next year. Me, another few good wins. Yeah, after this fight, I'll be 15-0. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, there's a lot of big contenders in my division. Everybody's good, right? Everybody's good, and it's just whoever puts together a good win streak makes the way to the top of the division. But I feel like there's so many fighters that can be in that top 15. It's a toss-up. I feel like we've got the best division and the hardest division in the whole of the UFC right now.
For a long time, a lot of people kind of referred to you as a striker, But going watching your fights, dude, on Fight Pass, I saw your grappling game, and also before the show even started, we're talking about Manchester Top Team, and those guys, their grappling games are really good. So can you tell me how you kind of flip the switch on the script to kind of show everybody that you've got a complete game and that you are also a grappler?
Well, I not like many MMA fighters. I started in MMA from the start. Do you get what I'm saying? So I didn't come from boxing, kickboxing, BJJ. So I feel like I've got a well-rounded game, and especially since coming to the UFC, I knew that I had to work on my grappling game a lot more than the other bits. I think that's shown in the first fight against the Russian. I have to do a bit more wrestling, so I've worked hard on that game, and I feel like to be the best, you have to be good everywhere, right? You're not always going to be the best striker just because of styles. Like, somebody's style might be a bit awkward for you, so you might have to be able to wrestle. You gotta have it all, man.
One part of your story that a lot of the fans kind of appreciate about you that kind of made you famous was that you had, an interesting upbringing in your life, and also there were the whole reason about you having your nickname the Miracle. So do you feel like you're blessed every day when you wake up?
Course, so should everybody, regardless of anything they've been through. I feel like everybody should. There's people out here that are in war-torn cities, but waking up, don't know if they're gonna wake up the next day. Do you get what I'm saying? So, with the way the world is today, everyone should feel blessed. But yeah, I certainly feel very blessed to be here.
So when you wake up every day, do you do like any meditation or like affirmations before your day starts?
Prayers, morning prayers, do morning prayers.
Always?
Always. Well, I try to anyway. Yeah, and I feel like
What
that
do
just
you think that does
sets
for
the
you?
tone. What's that?
What do you think that does for you?
I feel like it just sets the trend for the day, and it puts you in a positive mind state, and gives you that purpose, and just like, so you just know what you're doing that day, innit? Like, I just feel like it's just a good it's a good way to start your day. Good way to start your day.
Do you think when you like fight and you train, you take that positive energy into it? Because it is kind of like a negative thing to do to attack someone. So do you feel like you can bring that positiveness into
Nah,
that?
there's no positive in fighting. You're fighting, bro. We're there to kill each other, do you know what I mean? So it's not, there's no positive other than for the fans that are watching for entertainment. But the two fighters are in there. They're fighting for their lives, essentially, and fighting for the family's life to make their lives better and stuff. So yeah, there's no positives in fighting.
That intensity that you are talking about, that totally was in the Edson Barboza fight. That was an absolute slugfest. And I want to ask you, seeing that even with my training, I've been injured and stuff, I've had to come back from all these injuries. With you, I saw your face and you kind of like it like plumped up after Edson. You went back and forth. Edson wore the damage, you wore the damage. So I want to ask you, how does that feel after the fight? Like, do you feel that pain for like weeks on end, or does it go away?
I didn't, to be honest, I didn't take like that much damage. I just bruise easily. You've seen that in a few of the fights now. Even the De Silva fight, took two shots and like my face is like bruised, like swells up. But I didn't really take much damage other than my nose. He landed a good few jabs there, but other than that, it wasn't that bad. My leg was a bit bruised after the fight. That was pain for maybe a week or so. But other than that, the bruises on the face, that goes within a week.
You and me were talking about the fact that you have the complete game. So I want to ask you, from your opinion, what do you think there's one part of your game that you kind of need to improve on?
Everybody's got something to improve on. Every fighter out there. But I would say, I feel like wrestling's probably the hardest thing to learn. And I feel like if you put me with a D1 wrestler, he's gonna smoke me, right? But I feel like if I can spar with a professional boxer, if that makes sense, like the gaps are a lot closer. So I would say the wrestling.
So for that wrestling, would you go like Russia at all? Is that something that you have on the bucket list?
I've always wanted to, but it's a scary place to go to, man. But I've got good guys here for wrestling, and I go to Thailand. I work with a good wrestling coach there, Frank Hickman. He's at Bangtao. He's probably one of the best wrestling coaches I've worked with, to be honest. So travel, man.
Let me ask you about that. You brought up Hickman. So these guys, they're really good coaches for like wrestling into MMA and like jits for MMA and even, you know, Muay Thai clinch for MMA, because we've been seeing these guys, you know, Muay Thai players, they get, they try and implement that Muay Thai into the MMA game and it just doesn't work as well. Or these wrestlers, some of the positions don't work as well. Even in my training, like a lot of the positional stuff with grabbing a single leg from behind and even grabbing, you know, ankles and stuff. Like for me, I was thinking like the whole time whilst doing this wrestling stuff, I was like, in MMA, this wouldn't work because they've got their hands free. They can choke me. They can, you know, punch or elbow, right? So can you just run me through that evolution with the MMA coaches that you've seen? How have you seen them be able to port that wrestling, that jits, into MMA so they can give you the options to, whilst you're wrestling, you can do this, or whilst you're doing jits, you can do this specifically for MMA?
I feel like everything works given the time and place in it. Everything works, and obviously a lot of things are low percentage in MMA because of the chokes and the striking and stuff like that. But I feel like the best coaches are guys that have open minds, because you have some of them coaches that are like, oh, no, this will work. I'm a wrestler, this will work. But they've never fought MMA, never coached an MMA fighter. So the guys that have got the experience in watching a lot of fights, cornering the MMA guys, and even fighting themselves, they kind of understand the game more, and they're the guys that I like to learn from, that have like an open mind. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, who would you say those guys are? You mentioned Hickman. Do you have any other guys?
There's loads of coaches, man. There's my personal coaches in the UK that I've... My coach at Manchester Top Team is Carl Prince. He's got an open mind, really. My boxing coach, Paulino, he's a very good boxing coach, and he understands that certain things in boxing won't work in MMA. Do you get what I'm saying? You have them coaches that say, oh, hold your ground and do this and do that. How can you? You can't hold your ground in 4 ounce gloves, bro. This is, do you get what I'm saying? There's no catch, and people are trying to wrestle you as well. So you have to go with people that understand the game, innit?
You said something interesting. I was reading something you put out. You said, even if everything were free, I'd fight for domination. What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I've been trying to understand why. I think it's just like the alpha in me. Like, I feel like I just want to, like, okay, you think I can beat, you can beat me up. Let's prove that you can't, innit? And I just want to be the boss, innit? I feel like I'm the best fighter in the world at my weight. And I feel like if you think I'm wrong about that, then let's challenge me, innit? Let's fight and let's see who the best man is. Simple.
Do you think that makes you into a better person? Does it make you feel good?
A better person?
Yeah, I know it's a hard question, but like, that competition, you know, they're saying, oh, no, I can destroy you. And you're going, no, you come from a place of ego. You're like, no, I can smash you, right? So do you feel like even that competition makes you a better person or a worse person?
I feel like it's a bit of both, innit? Because I feel like to be a competitor in fighting, you have to have that mean streak in you, right? But in terms of like being a man and being like, even women, obviously, but being a man and like having that determination, having that hunt in you to, do you get what I'm saying, to provide for your family and compete. I feel like it's, competition's healthy for anybody, man. Like, we need it. Otherwise, you stay static and you're just in comfort zone all the time. It's good to get out of your comfort zone and grow. I feel like competition, whether you win or lose, like, you get growth from it as a human being, do you know what I mean? So I feel like that it's important for people to compete.
When did you find out that you had that mean streak? When did you realise that about yourself?
I've always had it from a kid. I've been scrapping from young playground, family members. And I was like the youngest boy in my family, innit? So I got like brothers, old cousins and stuff. So I used to always get beat up. So it's like, do you get what I'm saying? I had to fend for myself, innit?
A lot of the fighters, when they mention the fact that there's like a Chechen or even a guy from Ignatia, I believe that's what it's called, where Movzar's from, they've got this mystique about them that they're kind of unbeatable. Now, you fought Zubaira Tukugov, who's Khabib's main man,
They're all
and that.
beatable. They're all beatable. See the one thing with a lot of them guys you mentioned, a lot of them guys are used to being the hammer. But when they're not the hammer, you see them fade. Always, always. And I'm not saying they're not good fighters, they're very good fighters. And I feel like people from that part of the world are probably the most talented out of everybody because they've been doing it from young and that's all they know. They're in the gym every day working hard, so they are. But when it comes to like the gritty third round, dark, deep waters. We've seen it plenty of times.
Dude, I've seen so many people. A lot of guys have come on the show and told me that because they have that wrestling pedigree and they grow up in that environment, that they kind of try and smash through their opponents, kind of like Chimaev, like round one, round two, and that they are used to being having such a chain wrestling and such a high level of grappling that they can get rid of those guys, and that the second that it hits later, like your third and your championship rounds 4 and 5, that's when you can kind of get them because they're used to that wrestling type of
Sprint,
competition. We have to get them, we have to sprint for it. So do you agree with that?
100%, 100%. Don't get me wrong, some of them guys are 5 round fighters too, but I just feel like when they've got a guy that's just coming forward and willing to scramble with him and not letting him keep top position and just keep him moving, and you're seeing it, man. The people fading it, like it's kind of in MMA. That's why I love MMA so much. It's hard to just dominate someone like that for so long, right, without getting tired. Even when you've taken them down and they're on the back and elbowing your face off, like, do you know what I'm saying? And they're moving and elbowing, like, it takes energy. So there's less stall positions now because of the new rule set as well, and the scoring and whatnot. So I feel like it favors the striker.
Bro, on a real note, dude, you know how like we even see with Gamrot, I don't know if you've seen the fight with Dan Hooker, but even with Gamrot, he dives to the legs and he keeps his head so low to the mat trying to get those ankles. With the new rules and stuff, with the knees to the ground opponent and the elbows, personally, I think that also suits your kind of style, seeing that you've got a good knee game and a good elbow game. Like, what do you even think about that? Are you happy that that change has been made?
Yeah, for sure, man. You've seen in the Petr Yan Aljamain Sterling fight, like really and truly, this is fighting, bro. Like that should have been legal. Obviously, there's rules for a reason, and he broke the rules, so it's a disqualification. But I feel like wrestlers shouldn't be able to just wait on the knees like that. Like it's a fight. Do you know what I'm saying? Obviously, I don't agree with stomps and all that, but like knees, if you're not grounded, you should be able to knee him in the face.
What about headbutts, bro?
Nah, no headbutts. I feel like headbutts are just dirty. Like it's just a dirty, it's dirty, a bit dirty for me.
Have
There's
you
no technique
realized
in a
that?
headbutt. Nah, there is actually, because it's just like a shoulder strike in it. But I don't know. I think it just wouldn't be nice to see. I don't think.
Have you realized that some of the Russians that throw their headbutts and then the ref talks to them and gets upset with them? It's usually a Russian fighter because they have sambo and headbutts are legal with the headgear and
Ah,
sambo.
is it? Is it? Is it? I
Yeah,
didn't.
clean.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Ask me about. I want to ask you about Zubaira. So that draw. I saw the fight. I was a little bit. I think I need to rewatch the fight. I was a little bit confused with it. So do you think that that was a draw, or do you think that kind of robbed you?
Watching it like at the time, I thought, "Ooh, he took me down a lot." At the time of the fight, I was thinking, home crowd, like every time he'd done something, the crowd was going crazy. So it was like, okay, maybe it was a draw. But every time I've watched it back, he didn't do anything other than drop me in the first round. Do you get what I'm saying? He caught me early. Other than that, he didn't do anything. Didn't do anything with his takedowns, didn't land any ground and pound. I got two very close submission attempts, so many significant strikes, had him on the back foot for the whole fight. I feel like I won the fight. I should be 15-0 right now, I think.
Where was that fight hosted? Was that Dubai?
Abu Dhabi. That was my
Yeah,
debut. Abu Dhabi, yeah.
so you'd think he had like a crowd advantage. They love those guys.
100%, 100%. Like, That's just the way it goes, though, isn't it? That's just the way the game goes, man. So it is what it is.
Dude, on a real note, let's talk about Nathaniel Wood. So what started the beef with this guy? What's the issue here?
There's no beef. There's no beef because I've seen him. I've said to him, I've said what I needed to say to him. There was no fight from that. So it's like, it is what it is, isn't it? It's just a bit of internet, whatever stuff you want to call it. But it was nothing really. Basically, we were supposed to train, message each other about training. This was probably before he moved. No, when he moved to featherweight. He was like, he wanted some training, like somebody my size and whatnot. Anyway, so he was talking. Then the matchup got made. The matchmakers wanted us to fight. So we fight, right? So nothing got said about that. We both accepted the fight. And then he gets injured. He pulls out. Then he starts tweeting, oh, you don't understand the masterclass I was gonna put on against Lerone. And I just seen that as a bit disrespectful. Okay, you believe in your own abilities, but if... Like, there's a respect thing, do you know what I mean? Like, you believe it, you just keep it to yourself. We're fighting, we're going to fight, innit? So I tweeted back, come on, bro, with a laughing face. And then, you know, it just went back and forth from there. There was nothing. Like, I'm saying, come on, bro, as in, like, come on, bro. Like, really, is that what you really think? And obviously, I'm going to back myself, he's going to back himself. And it's just some back and forth on the internet. And it's nothing really. And then he started saying, oh, I'm taking the mick out of his mental health and whatnot. But it's just... Bro, it was child stuff, to be honest.
Combatant.
Think about that, man. The featherweight division goes up to lightweight. You had Volk fight Islam and do very well. You had Max Holloway KO Gaethje. And you were talking about the featherweight skill level. How do you think you would fare if you went up to lightweight later on?
I think I'd be better at lightweight, to be honest. I might be a bit undersized, but I feel like I'd be better because I feel like I lose my power at featherweight. I did start out at lightweight. I turned to featherweight at maybe 5-0, 4-5-0. And I feel like I hold more power at lightweight. And I'll be a lot quicker than them guys as well. So maybe later on, I'm going to have a good try at getting the title, obviously. And we'll see after that.
So your pro debut, you broke your hand, is that right?
Yes. First 20 seconds.
And in that fight, you had to, like, work around the hand. Which hand was it?
My right hand as well.
So from your power side, so how were you able to work around that and try and, like, fix your style to accommodate that?
I just feel like I've got so many tools that I can shut. I've always fought injured, like it's crazy to say, but every fight I've got something. Last fight against Barboza, I had an ankle injury, which is why you see me kick. If you watch the fight, I was kicking very lightly, and just like touching it, because I had an ankle injury, I couldn't calf kick, couldn't do anything. But it's just navigating and having many tools. You never know in a fight. What can happen, right? And if somebody takes out one of your tools and you're just stuck. You see a lot of these guys that get calf kicked, they don't know how to change stance, they don't know how to get around it, do you know what I mean? And I feel like you're putting yourself at a big disadvantage if you don't give yourself other weapons and tools.
Bro, my injuries are the knees. Have you ever done the knees?
Always. Everything. Every injury you can think of, I've done.
With the knees, what do you have to do to recover?
It's more so rehab and strengthening the muscles around your knee, because that's what's going to keep everything tight, right? So it's just making sure you're on the rehab and making sure everything is strong.
One thing I read about you was that you rewatched one of your fights like 1,000 times. I think you said, I've rewatched my last fight 1,000 times. So how do you even do that? Do you just have it on in the background and you're just constantly writing notes? What do you do?
I always watch my fight loads of times because I just see, like, and it's crazy that some of the fights I watch, I'm like, how did he even win that, doing that all the time? Like, how's he not, like, I don't know, make a lot of mistakes in some fights. But I always like to watch them back to see the mistakes and work on them. And I feel like every fight I get better because of that. I'll finish training, I'll just put them on my phone or on the TV and I'll watch it. If I'm on the plane journey, I've got it on my phone, I'll watch them, do you know what I mean? And I'll just keep on watching them. But I feel like that's the best way to improve as a fighter. self-analysis and then going away and putting together some drills to fix that, or speaking with your coach to how do I get past this? Why am I doing this? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, of course. You wrote something about self-belief being your superpower, and I'll ask you, how did you cultivate that and try and bring that out of you? You know what I mean?
It, no, I come to understand it's a superpower because there's a lot of time, even earlier on in my career, where I knew I was good, but I always thought this, oh, this other guy can, I know they can beat you, but I always thought going into fight, oh, this guy might beat me, this guy might, and I feel like that's putting your level down. You start to become. What so it just brings your level down. I feel like if you believe in yourself and obviously you can't count nobody out, but you've got to be going in that cage thinking I'm gonna eat this guy. And I feel like having that kind of belief, it makes all your attributes times. I don't know if you play FIFA or not, but like the attributes and say you like your power level's 80. I feel like if you got self-belief, it's 85. And do you get what I'm saying? It's you got to think about guys like Conor McGregor. Them guys' self-belief was out of this world. Do you get what I'm saying? He's going in there thinking, I'm going to knock this guy out, and he's cleaning people out. And that's just self-belief. It wasn't because he was technically better than anybody else. I feel like he believed in himself and he held himself that way. And I feel like self-belief's a massive thing. And that's why you see fighters, once they lose, they go on big skids. Yeah, because of the self-belief. It's not because they're not as good as they was the last fight. It's because of the self-belief, right?
Do you feel like the consistency kind of builds that?
Of course, 100%. Like I feel like fighting regular as well. It all comes hand in hand. All works hand in hand.
Do you journal?
I don't journal, but I do a lot of what's the word? Not meditation, but like when you've
Visualize?
visualization. A lot of visualization. Yeah.
What, do you see yourself with the belt?
Yes, of course. You have to. You have to, like, otherwise, why am I in this? I know that it's not been the belt itself. I know what the belt, having the belt brings, right? It changes your life forever. And that's what I want to do. And I want to go down in the history books too.
My final question for you is kind of on the same topic. You wrote that success is not just goals, but it's growth. So even if you don't get those goals that you want, would you still be happy with the growth?
Course, I feel like even if I stopped today, I would be happy. I feel like coming from where I've come from, I've done very well to even get here and achieved what I've achieved. And I feel like MMA has just like made me grow in as a person so much than I was before. And I've met some good people. I've learned so much stuff. And like you said before, with loss comes lessons anyway. So I feel like just overcoming that, it's all part of the journey. And that's why I love martial arts so much. And I would recommend it to any child growing up, if the if that's what they're inclined to do, is go down that path. Even if you don't fight, I just feel like it'll just make you grow, give you that strength, and yeah, just make you into a better person.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Lerone, for your time. Is there any final remarks you want to say to the fans at home as we wrap up the podcast today?
Make sure you tune in to 308 because it's going to be fireworks. I'm looking for fight of the night. I'm sure Danny Ige is looking for fight of the night as well, or performance of the night, even better. So yeah, tune in for fireworks.
Follow Lerone on Instagram, link in the fucking description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye bye.
I'm coming for the kill.